Simply His Coffee Shop. We are continuing our discussion today on this amazing book, Misfits. And let me read that subtitle to you again. Learning from our inner outcast and how it can empower us to find our destiny. This is such an impactful book, and you really need to go back and watch the other two episodes that we've already filmed on this. They've been crazy good episodes. You really need to go watch them. So as we're continuing this discussion, part of what they have covered in the book is about how the church can get involved and sometimes might misplace some of their discipleship. And I know, Allie, you had kind of talked about this when we were doing the prep for these shows on how the church doesn't always know how to reach those misfits. Can you elaborate a little bit for our viewers on that?
It's kind of a two-way thing. For one, you get these people who are trying to volunteer and they end up feeling like misfits, and often they leave. Mm-hmm. And then there's the idea of reaching the misfits who haven't yet come to church. For one thing, unfortunately, we live in a society where it's no longer the popular thing to do to go to church. People are able to separate the idea of church going from good citizenship, whereas, you know, several decades ago, those went hand in hand.
Yeah.
I'm a God-fearing, church-going citizen.
Yeah.
Now you can be a good citizen and never go to church.
Right.
And so a lot of people who aren't interested in being part of the body of Christ, you know, the church is facing this question of relevance, and it's outside the scope of this actual episode. But there are a lot of people within the church saying, how do we reach our community?
Right.
Well, you have to try to reach people on an individual basis. And so churches often have these cookie cutter ideas of where people are going to fit. And that includes where they're going to fit when they come in as a congregant, where they're going to fit when they come in to try to do ministry. Sometimes these people come into our church, and what we see a lot of, and it's really unfortunate, is we see a conversion. That's not the unfortunate part. but we see a conversion, and a person starts seeing the Holy Spirit working within their lives.
Right.
And they start seeing the power of God moving things.
Right.
And because we are all commissioned with the Great Commission, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Immediately when you're in tune with the Spirit, you start having this feeling that you want to give back. You want to connect with this thing. You want to see it bubble up inside you and come out somehow and reach other people. So a lot of times what we see are people who will go to the leadership of the church and say, hey, I'd like to help. What can I do? And unfortunately, there's a miscommunication here. It's a language barrier.
Yeah.
The person doesn't understand that the question they're trying to ask is, I feel the power of God working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning feelings of the idea that I have a calling are beginning to stir inside my spirit, and I want you to help me connect with that.
Right.
Instead, they say, I want to serve. Well, people in leadership at church, they're often beside themselves for help. You got the same two or three people doing all the cleaning and all the Sunday school prep. And I mean, it's just, it's exhausting. And they go, oh, good, we have help. And they often throw a job at this person very quickly, without first asking, what are you good at? What are your interests?
Yeah.
You know, here's a broom. We really need you to clean. Or here's this nursery duty we really need you to do.
Yep.
And by the way, those are great jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They
great
really
jobs.
Are.
They're necessary.
And they're important ministries.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because they enable the parents to feel secure and confident to bring their children to church so that they can also go be spiritually fed. So I'm not downplaying those, but sometimes this person has this idea in their head. They see themselves doing this thing that's whatever is in their head because it's their ministerial fantasy. And then, and by fantasy, I mean a thing they want to achieve toward, not a fantasy in that it could never come true.
Well, and sometimes they may not even know fully what that even looks like.
Exactly.
They're just like, I feel something in my soul and I want to do this. What can I do to reach people like you guys have reached me? Like, God has changed my life. So sometimes they don't even know what they're asking for.
Right, exactly. And so then when that kind of beginning of a stirring dream in their heart or their mind or their psyche, wherever it is, when that is contrasted with this cold, hard reality of a to-do list or a chore list that doesn't feel at all connected with that thing they were hoping to find themselves doing, it's very easy for them to feel like, oh, this isn't what I thought. And it can right away kind of start squelching the idea, especially if the work is thankless. And I'm sorry, most work in churches is thankless.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that it's done, and I applaud the people who do it. It needs to be done. But unfortunately, a lot of times people go, oh, well, I had this vision and I saw myself doing this kind of great thing for God. But now I'm just by myself over here doing this tedious task and I don't think anyone notices and I don't really think I'm making a difference. See, it's not always about the fact that it's a thankless job in the sense that nobody's walking around going, thank you so much for doing this. It's the fact that you don't see the impact of what you're doing.
Right.
And you think, well, I guess religion didn't work for me. Like, it can go all the way to that. And these people leave the church. Sometimes the conversion doesn't even last because they were plugged in and they really were looking for this thing. But by the time it was contrasted with this sterile to-do list that they were handed, you know, and so keeping the misfits plugged into ministry, that's a challenge for the church.
Yeah.
And it can be as easy as when they say, hey, I want to help, taking some time to get to know that person and saying, what are you good at? Okay, so if you're good at this, do you feel like this would be a good place for you? Okay, well, try it for a month or two. And if that's not working, we can try to find something else. Joe brought up a really good point when we were talking about this the other day. The flip side is sometimes you get these people who are very zealous and they're visionaries and that's amazing and that's wonderful.
Oh, of course.
But they'll go to the pastor and they'll say, I've got these great ministry ideas and I want the church to take these on. And the pastor's going, I'm already overwhelmed.
Level 10.
I'm already, you know. And a lot of pastors are also working full-time jobs to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so they're going, I work full-time. I minister also full-time. I'm also a husband and a father full-time. I don't have any more full-time things to take on.
Right.
And so that person can also feel disenchanted. Like, I had this dream of being in ministry and the church didn't care.
Right.
And the flip side is you have to understand that if you're already dreaming up a ministry, it's probably also going to be largely on you to figure out how does that ministry work and how does it plug into the church, not how does this church take this ministry from you and then make you the coordinator of it. Sometimes you have to do that yourself. So there's this balance of all of that.
I would love to back up a lot of what you just said on a theological level, just briefly. We get this idea in the church and a lot of leaders, God bless everyone, a lot of leaders get it wrong when they say there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. You'll find them in Corinthians. No, Paul said, for instance. Now, the word in English is not for instance, but if you look that up, and I'll let you know if you want to do a really deep dig, I mean a deep trench soul harvesting dig on the gifts of the Spirit and the proof theologically that there are many, 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 many more than what is just listed in the Bible. You need to get a hold of the book by Joe Horn. It's called Everyday Champions. He covers that very deeply in the book. But there's this moment where we get it wrong. We say that Paul said there's a word of wisdom, there's a word of prophecy, and that's basically the end of the list. There's 8 or 9 things. And if you don't have those gifts, you're not gifted.
Right.
The truth of the matter is that when you look at what's happening in Greek and you look at the context of the scripture, there is an implied, for instance, let me give you a list.
Right.
God calls men to do this, 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 this. And by men, by the way, that is another one of those Greek words that means men and women. In case you're wondering why only men are gifted in the KJV, that's why. But see, there's this whole grace gift section in Romans.
Yeah.
Same Holy Spirit. And the grace gifts are ones that are like the power of faith.
Yes.
I mean, some of us are literally gifted by the Holy Spirit to have faith in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
How many times can we look back on those who left a lasting imprint on our Christian walk with God? And the only thing that we can say, they didn't lead worship. They didn't necessarily bang their bongo drums. They didn't do this big, amazing painting thing over here. They didn't preach. They didn't teach. But boy, were they faithful.
Yes.
That is a calling. That is a gift.
Some people have the gift of joy, because they exude joy everywhere they go in everything that they do. You're like, oh, I just want to be around that person. They're so happy and they're so joyful.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a Christian at home and you're thinking, maybe you just got saved. Maybe you've been saved for a long time and you're still trying to find your falling and they just don't belong in the list of 9. Please believe that what God is tugging on you is so much bigger than you even know. And when that comes to fruition, it will do so because you thought outside the box. And I love church. I love certain parts of the organized institutionalized church, but that is a teaching that they just don't give, is the fact that the Holy Spirit equips for so many outside the box ideas.
Do you deal with some of those kinds of issues in the book?
That particular teaching, she's taking more from Everyday Champions by Joe Horn. But some of the things we get into is encouraging people to embrace their strengths and advocate for the strength of their own abilities. So, for example, we make a comparison with different people in the Rudolph movie and the little cartoon characters. There's Hermie the elf. He's an elf. He's supposed to be a toy maker. He just knows that he's supposed to be a dentist.
Okay.
And so sometimes we find ourselves in a season of obedience. And these are important. The other thing is we don't want to emphasize our, what I call our end game calling, which means when you finally get all the way where God, you know, there are all these teachable moments before you get there.
Yes.
There are moments of obedience, moments of learning to be faithful, moments of learning to be consistent. If we all got to just jump to the thing that God has for us at the end, we wouldn't be seasoned or educated or disciplined enough to handle what it is he has for us to do. It's the getting there that qualifies us to be there.
Right.
And so it's really important that we understand the importance of the seasons of obedience. And yet, when we are in a season of obedience, recognize, is this my endgame calling or not? And if it's not, continue with the season of obedience. Pray about relief if you're getting burned out. But in the meantime, advocate for that calling.
Right.
You know, and there are so many, if you look at the world, so many diverse kinds of talents and abilities out there. And there are so few avenues for most of those in a lot of churches. And that becomes very limiting. Why can't the church broaden what it does?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about my daughter who is extremely artistic and has even at times taught art classes. And she's not majoring in art at college, but she had a lot of people tell her she should. She's very gifted. You know, why couldn't a church, if it had the right resources, offer as one of its classes, instead of the first and second graders and the third and fourth graders and the fifth and sixth graders, why couldn't you also sometime have an art class?
Right.
You know, I mean, that gives the person who walks into church and goes, well, I teach art, but I don't teach out of books. Do you have anything for me to do? Why is the answer, well, we don't really have an art class? That's where finding out what your people are capable of, because the world is filled with all kinds of people who are talented at so many hundreds of thousands of different things. And then when you get into the four walls of church, again, we cookie cutter and stereotype these ministry ideas to the idea that if it doesn't fit our handful of boxes, well, we don't have anything for you to do. Sorry.
Yeah.
Or you can come and do this thing that isn't you.
Or you can fill these boxes.
Right.
Yeah. So Nita, as a pastor's wife, I'm sure that you've seen this kind of a thing all throughout your history of being a pastor's wife, of people who wanted to minister or who felt like they were a misfit. What did you do with that?
Well, one of the things that comes to my mind is backing up to what Allie was talking about earlier. I think that, you know, serving in the church or serving, period. I think one of the things I have found that has really helped me find my place is remembering who I'm serving.
Right.
Because I remember some of the things that I've done in my service to the church was because I was serving God himself first.
Right.
There were times I had jobs in the church nobody to this day doesn't even know I've done them.
Right.
And I will not talk what they are because I want that to be a private thing between me and God.
Right.
But those were some of the most amazing moments in my life because I did it unto him.
Right.
They gave me a key to the church. I sneaked in and did my thing and sneaked out. And the whole time I'm in there, I was his whole presence. And those are some of the times when I lived that sustained me through some of the times when I did kind of get football kicked around the field a few times. Those were moments when I go back to and hold on to those. But some of the stuff I didn't, it was not glorious.
Right.
It wasn't like pleasant. Not stuff anybody would, hey, can I go do that? Uh-uh, you don't want to do that. It's okay, though, because it needed to be done.
Right.
And I'm not bragging on myself, but it was just God said, just go do this. It's got to be done. Why don't you do it? Okay. So I did.
Yeah.
And this was not Sunday school teaching. It was none of that stuff. But
kind of like the serving in obedience, just, as she was talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, I had the whole church to myself. And even some of the most unpleasant places in a church where it became very, very memorable because of what it was. So I just wanted to say, whatever you're doing, do it as unto God. Give it to him and let him show you what he's going to do. Not that you're doing it to get something back. It's just that when you go before God purely and just say, here I am, use me, here am I. What do you want me? Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Whenever you have that attitude, he can reward that back tenfold. And I'm not talking about material. Yep. Talking about he will feed you on those days when you need that manna from
yep.
heaven. Whenever things get tough, it's, you pull from those days when you mm-hmm. spent that time mm-hmm. doing the thing he asked you to do. So I think that's another thing about sometimes when people miss what their calling is. Rather than me as a pastor's wife seeing that, yes, we're guilty. The church equals all of these categories.
Yeah.
And people come in and, yes, and you're right. Oh, good, we got somebody that's going to do nursery. And that lasts really good for about 6 weeks. And then after everybody coming in, and I know because I've been there.
Yep.
I remember I volunteered to do nursery, and then that was my job. And I never got to go back to church because mm-hmm. I was nursery duty every day. And every people would bring, oh, you're in here. Oh, good. Dump their kid on me, dirty pants and all. I clean them up. I did my turn, and then it came my turn for someone else to take over.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do that. We stick people in a closet and hope that they'll just do the job. Because the service becomes different when a man or a woman or the church or whoever puts their finger in it.
Yeah.
You're serving God, it's a different thing. When you're mm-hmm. serving mankind, it's going to go sour real fast.
It will go sour.
So that's my spin.
Right. And again, we're talking about the book Misfits. We're going to show you a commercial on how you can get this amazing book and a whole bunch of free gifts. Watch this.
With the holiday season here, it's crucial that we all remember the true reason for the season. Now you can uncover valuable truths about Christ's kingdom while awaiting His imminent return. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the largest holiday giveaway of the year, the Misfits Grand Giveaway. With so many in the body of Christ experiencing seasons of loneliness, insecurity, doubts about their God-given purpose, or feel like out-of-place misfits in the kingdom of God, the time for change is now. In their new book, Misfits, the ladies of Simply His delve into the vital spiritual realities and theological principles that demonstrate how these discouraging sentiments are not unique to you, but may in fact be indicators that you're on the verge of a spiritual breakthrough. In Misfits, you will learn surprisingly simple but life-changing biblical information that will empower you to discover your untapped potential, to find your God-ordained calling, and to embrace your destiny. Also included in this incredible holiday giveaway is Donna Howell's thrilling sequel to the Charles Dickens classic A Christmas Carol, entitled Ebenezer, where she answers what was left unaddressed at the end of the Dickens novel, such as whatever becomes of Tiny Tim, and what happens when people from all over London witness the change in Ebenezer, and learn that the motivation behind all of his transformation began with what they believed to be ghostly visitations. Ebenezer is an instant holiday classic. You'll also receive the never-before-released collection, Christmas Classics, a beautiful volume of 9 full books with 14 stories total, all celebrating Christmas. These classic narratives will warm your heart and inspire you this holiday season, featuring titles in their entirety like A Christmas Carol, The Shepherd's Story, The Shepherd Who Didn't Go, The Gift of the Magi, The Other Wise Man, and several more. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive the new Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on data disc. Now, for the first time ever, this must-have assortment features 110 of the most information-packed best-selling books in Defender history. These full-length books are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on Kindle, EPUB, PDF, and other handheld electronic devices. Give this collection as the ultimate gift to somebody you know this holiday season, or take them with you wherever you go. Valued at over $1,500 all by itself. You'll also receive directly from the Skywatch TV archive the complete Teens Rock collection on DVD. Join Joe Horn and his talented group of young panelists as they discuss important issues facing today's modern youth culture. Featuring bonus interviews with musicians Alicia and Whitney as they perform their original songs, So Much More, and Try Kneeling. And finally, included in the Misfits Grand Giveaway, Joe Horn's new CD, This Time Around, an anthology over 20 years in the making, featuring the entire Horn family performing hit singles like Long Drive. Talk to Jesus.
So let your heart light on fire for the one true Messiah. Talk to Jesus. Yeah.
This time around.
This time around. Yeah. It's not about my spotted record. Crying about the man I want to be.
And so many more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $1,600. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This is the largest giveaway of the year, just in time for the holiday gift-giving season, and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Misfits Grand Giveaway, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back. We're continuing our discussion on the Misfits book. Donna, I know you have a really cool testimony about the whole church thing that we're kind of talking about, and where you know were feeling like you're a freak, so to speak, when you were watching The Greatest Showman and everything and identifying with all of those characters. You talk about it in the book quite a bit and go into more detail, but tell us a little bit about why you felt like you were such a freak and a misfit.
Yeah, I do talk about it in the book, and in the book I give the longer and much funnier version of it. I didn't hold anything back. I mean, there's these moments where I'm behind stage at Jim Baker's studio right before I did my very first sermon ever.
Wow.
I was the keynote speaker of the biggest annual celebration in Morningside Church, Jim Baker Studios, one of the biggest Christian media outlets there is in the world, and I had never preached before.
Wow.
So that was...
No pressure.
No, my word. And also, I had a health condition going on at the time. I was very ill that day.
Yeah.
That whole part is a hysterical moment where I'm just like, you know, I'd rather stick my hand in a fan than what I'm about to do up there. Does Jim have something for that in his supplement shop? Like, I was panicking. It's a funny testimony. But yeah, when I was a kid, oddly enough, okay, I was the chubby redhead, freckles everywhere, tomboy. I didn't fit in anywhere, but I didn't know that really.
Yeah.
And I got to credit your husband, my brother, for that. Because growing up, he just kind of made my life a living hell every day.
Yeah.
and I love that he did, because it really made me strong. He picked on me a lot and it made me stronger. What I love about what that did for me is it made me look at the rest of the world, because I came home and at the end of the day, Joe was my BFF.
Right.
He really was.
Right.
And so he'd pick on me and I'd get to the end of the day where I was like, you know what? Those who are there for me will be there for me at the end of the day, whether we fight or not.
Yeah.
And those who are not going to be there for me are not worth my time.
Right.
Because I have a goal and I'm going somewhere. So either join me or get out of my way, because I'm going to be this personality. Now, my daughter's exactly the same, and that's why she doesn't get along with anybody. Because she has that same, I'm going to push through the crowd. That's great. It makes leaders, but it's very hard.
It is
when
hard.
When you're first called, and by first called, I know I was first called when I gave my heart to the Lord, which I don't even know when that was. It's been all my life. But there was a moment where that calling, with the kind of line of work that my family's involved in, kind of did take a little bit of a different turn.
Yeah.
And I realized I was going to be in front of camera and in front of microphones and on radio and television. And a lot of what I was involved in those early days made me say, God, that is not the mold that I fit into.
Right.
And as we've been talking about the book for these last few weeks, and we've been talking about the word that the Lord gave me, which was, you're not supposed to fit the mold.
Right.
You're supposed to break it.
Right.
So be exactly what it is I've called you to be. Never mind what they've called you to be.
Right.
I am the voice that you need to be listening to. So when I identified with the bearded lady character in The Greatest Showman movie, you got to understand there are moments of parallel. The book goes into it. There are moments of parallel that are surreal. Like when she's standing there and Hugh Jackman's urging her to go out and to face the people for the first time, she's going, I don't want to. I'm not what they're expecting.
Right.
And he's like, no, they're going to love you. You just don't know it yet. And that's exactly what the sound man said to me behind the scenes at Jim Baker right before my first sermon.
So what is The Greatest Showman, just in case nobody's watched
Greatest
it before?
Showman. Yeah, it's a musical with Hugh Jackman as the lead character. Hugh Jackman plays P.T. Barnum historically. Now, as far as whether or not that's 100% historically accurate depiction, it's not. But Hugh Jackman rocks it.
He does.
And the bearded lady, for those of you that haven't seen the movie, she is based on the historical character Letty, who was a real-life bearded lady. And the gal that they picked to play her role in the movie,
she is
phenomenal. Powerfully strong. But even she has her own misfit story behind the scenes where she was like, no, I don't want to be out in front of people. I don't want to sing.
Yep.
And then one day she did, and she made Hugh Jackman herself cry. Look it up. It's on YouTube. It's great.
It is great.
The point is, my story, I knew that God was calling me to do something, but when I looked at what that something looked like, I couldn't find it.
Right.
It didn't exist on TV. Mm-hmm. There wasn't another one of me out there anywhere. Yeah. I prayed to be the appendix of the body, you know, in when Paul talks about how the body of Christ mm-hmm. is made up of many parts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And basically in Greek, he says, if we were all an eyeball, where would the hearing be?
Right.
And if we were all an ear, where would the eyeball be?
Right.
And his point is that yeah. some of us are called for things that look weird to other people.
Yeah.
And I was one of the weird ones.
Yeah.
And I so identified with her on so many levels. And this is where it really comes home. There's this moment in the movie where the Letty character is trying to come in and visit. She's been identified as the freak. They just had their first big show. It was a smashing success.
Right.
Now she wants to come in and they're all sipping wine and hobnobbing with the social elite. And she wants to come yeah. in there and be a part of that because she is the grandest part of this circus show
yes.
that just went on and was great. And he shuts the door in her face.
Yep.
And in this moment, I'm like, oh Lord, I hear you, because that is exactly what the church does to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They shut the door in my face because I don't look like the rest of them
yep.
in these particular churches. I'm not saying everybody in the church is like that, but that was my testimony. And then, yeah. so I'm sitting there going, okay, Lord, what is she going to do? What is this character going to do next? Because I knew he was showing me something through her.
Right.
And she punches right through that door and says, I'm going to do it anyway. And she walks right into the social elite. And they're all looking at her like, well, I'm shy. Never. I'm shocked.
Right.
Grabbing their
Why
shawls and
here?
Acting like, you know. Mm-hmm. What's funny is that she doesn't do it intentionally to lead any other circus freaks. But she does it. And all the other circus freaks went, that's right. I'm going to dance this choreography too. And there's this little dancey, punchy number. She sings the song, This Is Me, wherein she says the words, I am broken and I am bruised and I am exactly who I'm meant to be.
Right.
This is me.
Yes.
And I'm like,
absolutely.
Thank God that somebody else out there, even though it's not a Christian movie, it's G or PG rated. It's super, super clean.
Yes, it is.
The idea behind that character is, look, we're all freaks.
Yep.
And those of us who are not freaks are pretenders.
Yeah.
So we're going to burst through these doors and we're going to dance this choreography. You're with me or you're behind me, but yeah. I'm not going to stop because you're against me.
Absolutely.
That's my story.
And just in time, because we are almost out of time for this episode, but that truly is so true. And I think so many people forget that they have the strength within them. God puts things in you to make you better. You can identify with the bearded lady and the freak in the corner, but God has a plan for you. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget the fact that he has instilled, and we keep saying this, mm-hmm. what God has started in you, he is going to complete it. Yes, it might hurt. We use I'm the clay, mold me. But a lot of people, again, and we've talked about this before, is they don't always know what that means. It means that God is going to break you so that his glory will shine through. And that you have to be willing to do that. Don't say, okay, Lord, here I am, send me. Unless you truly mean it, because God's calling on your life is so important and he will break you for the better. We're going to continue this discussion on Misfits next week. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you next time.